Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio. Today is Thursday, October 18th, 2012. I think it's 20-something days until the election, which I will be so glad when this election's over. So we will finally know what's going to happen for the next 4 years and how much truly is going to be different and those kind of things. So I will definitely be glad when the election is over. I don't know about you, but that's my take. The thing that we've been sharing with our listeners, and I'm going to go ahead and do it again tonight, is the American's Creed, because I really don't think we can say it too many times. And so I'm going to share this with you for those who have never heard it before, and for those of you who do know it and do appreciate it. The American's Creed by William Tyler Page. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed, a democracy and a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon those principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. Those are some powerful words there, at least I believe they are. The last statement in the American's Creed, which I truly believe, I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. That very last part, to defend it against all enemies, is very important. We have to understand who the enemy is. The enemy is not, well, we know the enemy is Al-Qaeda. We know they don't like us, all that good stuff, don't like the freeway, they don't believe in women's rights, et cetera, et cetera. But we have enemies from within who are destroying our country by disregarding our Constitution and by taking away our rights and a variety of things that they are doing, surrendering the sovereignty of this country to the United Nations, just different things that are happening little by little. So we have to just keep aware, we say defend against all enemies. Crooked politicians are enemies. Corrupt politicians are enemies. These are enemies that we have to get out of office. We have to replace them with people who actually have some kind of principles, who have some ethics, who have some integrity. And the sad fact is not many of them there today do. That's why we talk on American Statesmen. That's what's the difference between a politician and a statesman. A politician is working for the next election. A statesman's working for the next generation. Well, when you look at Washington, D.C., when you look at your local government, your local municipalities, you look at your state government, do you see statesmen or do you see politicians? I see politicians. I would dare say maybe 5% of those in office today are what you would call statesmen. Statesmen, stateswomen. The rest are just sleazy, backstabbing, screw-us-over politicians, which is part of what we're going to talk about tonight, the way the politicians are screwing us over on the highways, the interstate highway system, by putting toll taxes on it. We're going to get into a lengthy discussion about that, and that's really what tonight's focus is. But we're going to go ahead and talk about a few other things that are happening. And anybody wants to chime in, please feel free to do so. 347-857-4364, 347-857-4364. Press 1 if you want to speak on the air. If you do not press 1, we will not know that you want to speak on the air. We think you're just listening as you're driving along. So make sure you do that. And, I think I forgot to say who I am. Yeah, my name is Sally Baptist, and I'll be hosting the show tonight. And Charlie Quine will be joining me, my co-host here. He'll be joining us shortly. And like I said, tonight's focus is on highway robbery, the interstate toll tax. And I'm going to tell you, it's the rhinos that say it's a good tax, and it's a Democrat who would actually do that to the middle class and lower income people. So we're going to get into that discussion. But before we go there, I guess most of you have heard we had a terrorist attack on the Federal Reserve in New York City, and it was diverted. So thank God for that. Thank God it was, I guess it was the FBI, I believe, who was involved in that, who actually prevented that from happening. But it shows you the evilness that is definitely out there trying to gun us down here. And Glenn Beck was talking about it a little bit on his show earlier, and he said, you know, if that would have happened, they probably would have blamed the Ron Paul supporters, the Ron Paul libertarians. And I agree with him. They would have, because this was somebody targeting the Federal Reserve. They were targeting the Federal Reserve because they wanted to have a total meltdown of the economy, where Ron Paul, such as myself, want to abolish the Federal Reserve because they're corrupt. But the Ron Paulers aren't out there going to do those kind of things, to do any of that extreme, even though it would have been blamed on Ron Paulers or Tea Partiers. You know, that's just the way the crazy media is. You know, getting the facts out there isn't really part of the reporting that we do these days. Why you know, worry about the facts when a lie will do just as good, or fabrication, or misrepresentation, or slanted reporting, whatever they call what they do. But the main thing is, thank God we did. It was caught before anything happened. But from everything that this gentleman was trying to do, this individual, this terrorist, was trying to do to us, would have been massive if he'd been able to pull it off, had the FBI not been engaged in the process. So we really do have them to thank for that one, and just makes you realize how close that we are to, you know, at any point in time. But see, the Patriot Act did nothing to stop what that individual was trying to do. And it wasn't through taking away my rights as an American citizen. This was, I think that's the other part I found interesting. This was a foreign student. A foreign student did this. So we keep letting in the people that we know are hostile to us, giving them freedom to come and go as they please routine, knowing that they are against us. And, you know, not that I want to shut the doors and not let anybody in, but I just don't think we should be so reckless with who we let in. And so I thought that was the other part of this. It was a student who came in on some kind of student visa or something. Can't secure our own borders. And it's just, and this government, the way they harass the average citizen, so with all the stuff they do, yet they don't do anything to secure this country. It's such a violation, dereliction of duties, violation of their oath of office, violation of their fiduciary duties to protect the people. It's disgusting. The other thing is Glenn Beck is going to be in Kissimmee, Florida, here tomorrow. Now, I will be working, so I won't get to see that, but that should be kind of interesting. Freedom Works is doing some kind of a rally here. And, you know, I'm a fan of Glenn Beck's. I find some of his information. He does a lot of research. He decided since the lamestream mainstream media, and of course cable news too, since they were going to censor his conversation, he just took matters into his own hands and created his own station. So now nobody can control what he says. So I thought that was really something that he did that. So I have a lot of respect for everything that Glenn Beck has done. And I understand why so many Americans support Romney out of fear. It bugs me that some of the things that Glenn Beck says, while he professes to be such a George Washington fan, he doesn't always follow through on that. But I'm not going to get into too much of that tonight. I'll talk about that another night because of the various things that happened in this election with Ron Paul and stuff like that. It's like, well, if you're supposed to be such a big supporter of George Washington, and I guess, you know, he doesn't like the political parties. I don't know that he is any political party actually belongs in any of them, but I know that, you know, George Washington did not believe in the political parties. But anyway, we'll get on to something else. Then, the other biggie. Can't forget this one. This Saturday, Saturday, October 20th, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., we're going to have the Freedom from the UN rally, and this is in Tallahassee, Florida, at the old Capitol building, the front lawn of the old Capitol building. We are going to have the Freedom from the United Nations rally. We are sending a loud message to the gang of thugs in Tallahassee, Florida, that we do not want to be part of the United Nations. If the people in Washington, D.C. try to force us into the United Nations, then as a state, as a sovereign state, We have the right to not do this. And we want to follow, as some other states have done, like Alabama, and be out of Agenda 21 and not be under the various international programs of the United Nations, which includes ICLEI, which is the International Council on Local Environmental Initiatives. So the whole point is we are a sovereign state. We want to have the rights of a state. We want to actually believe in a constitution, believe in our federal constitution and our state constitution. And speaking of our, and I will be there. I'm definitely going to be there. I'm going to be there sometime around 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, and I'll be there till whenever I feel like leaving. So hopefully I will see a lot of people there. And I think it's going to be a very good event. The other is, let's see, speaking of the Florida state constitution, we have concluded our overall discussion about the proposed amendments to the Florida state constitution. And we'll be talking about probably again from time to time before the election, but we went over every single one of them on different shows. And the whole point is, with the exception of one of these amendments, maybe two, but one amendment, Amendment 5, which is the state courts, all the others are things that should be done through the legislative process. They should not be part of the state constitution. And this is trickery by the gang of thugs in Tallahassee to bypass that process and try to hoodwink people to voting for this stuff in this process. And there's a couple of things out there. And some of you may remember when we voted on the pregnant pig thing a while back. And, you know, it's because people weren't paying attention or just don't understand, the state constitution should be... you can't just go and play with it. It's not something you say, well, we'll put it in there and take it out tomorrow and whatever else. You can't play with those kind of amendments. Like, you can change law, the legislative process, statutes and things, much easier than you can the Constitution. So you shouldn't be reckless with going out there putting garbage out there. But, you know, because the animal rights group wanted to end the pork industry and claim that the Florida pigs were being harmed because the pregnant pigs weren't roaming free or something, they literally put this on a ballot to protect the rights of pregnant pigs. And, you know, there's a certain part when you think about, you know, the people who don't pay attention to what's going on and what's really happening with these things. You say, well, God, we don't want to hurt pigs. Why would we want to hurt pregnant pigs? And so they voted to support and protect the pregnant pig. This is the kind of stuff that is out there. That isn't what you do. You don't vote on those kind of things for the state constitution. If they wanted to pass a state law saying something about it, fine. Then we could change it if we wanted to later or whatever. But not to do it the way they did. And Florida was the, you know, it was one of the jokes. Florida looks like a bunch of morons voting for pregnant pig rights. I mean, can you, believe it or not, a pregnant pig has more rights than a pregnant woman does. But that's how sick it is. But the same thing is what they're doing now. They started out with 12 amendments. They got rid of one. I believe it was Amendment 7. And so now they're down to 11 proposed amendments to the state constitution. Amendment 5, the one for the state courts, is the only one that's truly valid for the court. It's the only one that truly means anything, for the state constitution. That's the only one that makes any true sense as a constitutional amendment. All the other ones are things they couldn't get passed through the regular legislative process, so they're going to say, the average voter doesn't know any better. We'll put these things out there. We'll word them so that it sounds nice or it's confusing. And so the people that we know who know what's going on will vote for them the way we want. And the rest will, you know, if we make it sound nice, they'll vote for it even though they don't know what it is. And they don't understand it's the Constitution versus the other. You know, it's just manipulating the process, which is pretty disgusting to me. But that's the way they do things. So, and two of them that will be the ones that will probably pass when they shouldn't in reference have impact to veterans, benefits for our veterans. And because people are going to feel guilty, well, gosh, we've got to do stuff to help the veterans. And I'm not one to disagree with that. It's just how you do it. It does not belong in a state constitution. Veterans' rights, veterans' benefits do not belong in the state constitution. And equally important is that they should be shared by all. We should have, and some of the things that are in the Florida state constitution now don't belong there. So we've already got one mess, so we're going to put another mess on top of it. And when it comes to veterans benefits, there should be standard veterans benefits across the board, across the country. No veteran should be treated differently. It shouldn't, because you were in the service, you were in Florida when you went into the service versus those who didn't, and this and that. And, I mean, it's crazy. The whole thing is crazy. So, like I said, with the exception of Amendment 5, the other ones should have all been done legislatively. The only other one that I had any kind of reservations about is Amendment 1, and that has to do with the health care, the Florida health care. And I understand that they're trying to block us from having to follow under Obamacare, and to that point I would actually support it. I'm still kind of deciding whether that's the right way to do it, but with everything else, it's no. No, no, no. And for those of you who haven't taken the time to study, vote no. If you don't know what they are, don't put this stuff on the Constitution. Don't do it. Just vote no. No, you're not going to change the Constitution when you don't know what they're doing with it. And they should never, never put this much garbage out there to change the state Constitution in one election. I think and then we have a whole other slew of garbage out there on Orange County, because I live here in Orange County, the referendum there, and that's a whole other story of what's been going on there. And again, it's all gobbledygook the way they've written it. It means nothing. So, I mean, try to keep that in mind. And when in doubt, vote no. And most of it should be no. And let's see, what else? Okay, those are the main updates for right now that I have. Until we start really getting into the discussion about the interstates, which is going to be just a few minutes. But I see that Mr. Charlie has joined us. And hello, Charlie. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine. I was just watching.
Yes.
I was, before we, because I know you're going to be talking about the interstates and that, I was just watching Fox Business News with Lou Dobbs,
mm-hmm.
and he did a timeline on the Benghazi thing, mm-hmm. and it does look like we have a lying president, or how would you say, a less truthful White House than what we the people are deserving of. And I'm talking about White House when I'm talking about everybody involved in this Benghazi thing, this tragedy in Benghazi where security was not upped and, you know, and four brave Americans were killed, serving we the people. And the big, I'm really beginning to believe that this is a Watergate flood, like Nixon was involved in, but this is a flood caused by the Watergate syndrome. Mm. It is absolutely astonishing at the timeline that Lou Dobbs came up with as to when, who, and what knew that it was realized that it was a terrorist attack, not a caused by a, how would you say, video?
Yeah.
But anyway, the only thing that we have really to report on is the fact that we received a response to our lawsuit regarding Congress's failure to properly process a budget. And just for those listeners who are curious about as to what's happening, it looks like the district judge here in Central Florida decided to circumvent the issue of the complaint, stating in her answer that we answered the magistrate's first letter in regards by adding more evidence to our complaint. And the part that she is planning on denying us our right to sue is based on what they call forma pauperis. If you cannot afford to pay for the legal fees, and you are dirt poor, you can file a form called Forma Pauperis. The clerk of the court told me that, and Terry, that the Forma Pauperis has nothing to do with the filing of the complaint. The Forma Pauperis is a separate item from the complaint. Because I asked her that. I said, if all of a sudden I'm denied the Forma Pauperis, does that have any effect on the complaint itself? And she said, no, it is a separate item. Well, the district judge, who apparently was brought this complaint because the magistrate apparently was, befuddled by Sally's answer and didn't know how to proceed further, he went to the district judge with it. And the district judge decided that she was going to deny us this based on the fact that Sally and Terry did not fill out a Forma Pauperis form. Well, Forma Pauperis is a request not to have to pay the filing fees and the court fees. That's all it is. It's like asking for a loan from the or a grant from the court so we don't have to pay out of our pocket for something that we are fighting for the good of the American people. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we are now going to look. We've already put in a call for an attorney, and we are going to see if there's anybody out there, any of our listeners and friends across the country who will give us some information as to which is the best way to go. And we intend to continue pursuing this issue because it is a violation of the Constitution. And to think that of a district judge in a federal court would respond to the situation and because of us not filing the papers for Forma Pauperis, which the other two definitely did not qualify. And apparently I didn't qualify either because I own my own home. But as I said, and as I was told, Forma Pauperis has nothing to do with the filing of a complaint or the processing of the complaint, because I told her I was willing to pay for the fees. And she said, well, we'll let you know when that time comes that you have to pay for the fees. So this, I think Sally has hit on something that means we should be going to court with this complaint all the way through. But they're trying to stop us because we are pro se litigants. We are not lawyers. We are trying to do something for the good of our country with the knowledge of the Constitution and the rights of the people that are in the Constitution of the United States. So we will keep you posted on this probably Monday or next Thursday as to which way we're going. But if you know anybody who is interested in this country from a legal standpoint, a paralegal, or a lawyer, please get him in touch with us. Thank you. All right, Sally.
All right. Yep. I haven't even hardly read the thing. I just got the thing from the court yesterday, so I haven't hardly looked at it yet. We knew they were going to play games. I mean, it's, we already knew a certain amount of this was going to happen. And
yeah,
this is just the sad fact. This is what the corruption is, the cancer of corruption through this government is not strictly in the offices, the elected offices. It's pretty much all over. And,
you gave me another thought when you said the corruption. I am hoping, ladies and gentlemen, and Sally, that this is not an indication that there is collusion between the powers that our founding fathers so developed. The separation of powers, the executive is separate from the legislative, and the legislative is separate from the judicial, and the judicial is like the overseer of the other two to make sure that everything is going right for we the people, because the Constitution was designed for we the people. It was not designed for corporations or any other businesses. And I am afraid from what this district judge has and how she has sent us this response, I have this slight thought that it could be a, how would you say, collusion between the judicial and the legislative. Sally, I got a call I got to take.
Okay. Well, Charlie will join us back shortly here. The only other thing I'm going to say about that there is such a thing called Equal Access to Justice Act, the Equal Access to Justice Act. And that goes into the payment, authorizing payment of attorney's fees when you're going after the government. So this is another reason why we, you know, believe that they're trying to play some games with us. But there's other options, and we will continue to see what we can do about this. Congress is not above the law. It doesn't matter what the judge says. They're not above the law. And we cannot allow this kind of stuff to go on. There's so many things they've done to violate the Constitution. That violates their oath of office. That violates their fiduciary duty. Congress is not above the law. They work for us. They do work for us. They don't know that. They haven't been told that in a very long time. 2010, we tried to sort of tell them that, but they weren't listening too good. So we've got to keep doing that until we get all these scumbuckets out of office. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of them in there. On that note, let's go to the topic of the night, which is interstate tolls. Right now, there's a massive push to put interstate tolls all along I-95. I-95 goes from Miami up to Maine, all along the east coast, and there's multiple beltways around it, 295, 495, 695, all these other pieces of I-95, and parts of them already have some tolls on them. But the thing with this, as I was driving back from Jersey, and I mentioned this on Monday's show, I was driving back from New Jersey. I came across in Virginia, there was a big old semi-truck with a big old sign on it saying, "No, stop! Tell Governor McDonald to stop the I-95 tolls. No I-95 tolls." And then I get into North Carolina, and there's a big billboard. And I was going to post the billboard shot in my in the show page today, but I didn't quite get there. And it's stop the I-95 tolls. No I-95 tolls. So little by little, it's getting louder. I've been fighting tolls for years. Florida is one of the worst when it comes to the crux of what they do with the toll taxes. And we've really got to make this, get this louder and louder. There's various groups across the country. There's TURF in Texas that fights them. There's No Tolls in New Jersey that fights them. Stolen Lanes in Georgia. And then these I-95 groups that are coming up. There's plenty of people fighting and opposing the tolls. And we even have some senators. Kay Hutchinson, she was from Texas. She was fighting them as well. And she's got a bill out there. So there's the Senate. There's actually a couple of senators trying to fight these toll taxes. And we've got to push it because these are taxes, people. It's not a user fee. That's a scam. These people are lying to you. It's fraud. It is fraud when they try to tell you it's not a tax. An interstate toll, a highway toll, is a tax. And you've already paid three taxes, gas taxes for the highways, and in addition to numerous other taxes you pay. Toll roads are all about a cash cow for the government and for their special interest friends. This is the way they pretend to create jobs. I want to know, Romney, and of course Obama, both these two guys, and every governor out there, every state governor, is the way you create jobs by creating government jobs? Is that what you say? So you want to create government jobs. You want to create another IRS. The interstate toll road system is the new IRS. You know, you're going to not only pay income tax, but now you're going to pay that transportation, another transportation tax, every time you walk out the door. And the other aspect of this, I mean, to say it's a user fee is just a lie. That's garbage. That's what a gas tax is. And if they feel like they need to raise the gas tax, then let's talk about that. Even though we all know if they wouldn't waste our money the way they do, they wouldn't need to do that. But it is a gas tax is a user fee. You know, they want to give all these breaks to people buying electric cars and all this other stuff. That's what a gas tax does. If you want to encourage people to buy more fuel-efficient cars, a gas tax does that. The more fuel-efficient the car is, the better tax break you will get automatically because gas tax is based on volume. It's not a sales tax. It's a volume. So for every gallon you buy, you pay a certain sales tax, or you pay a tax, excuse me. Well, it's a federal tax, state tax, and a county tax in most places. And that's what we have here in Florida. We have three gas taxes, plus all the toll taxes, because Florida has more toll roads than any place else in this country. Florida is supposed to be this low-tax state, but it really isn't. We don't have a state income tax, but we've got everything else. You get taxed if you want to put change a door on your house, you're going to pay a tax. You have to file a fee. They call them fees. They're taxes. They're fees for the government to do nothing. And it's just ridiculous. But these toll road taxes, absolutely outrageous. And the whole, I mean, when you think about it, yes, the roads aren't free. A freeway isn't free. Freedom isn't free. The freeway isn't free, but anybody who drives a car, truck, operates a motor vehicle out there, you pay gas taxes all over the place. You pay, look at all the insurance you have to buy, look at all the registration fees you have to buy, look at all the taxes you pay for the tires that you buy, et cetera, et cetera. If you're renting from, it's a car rental place, you're paying usually, like here in Florida, they have another tax for car rentals, just like a tourist tax, but this is a car rental tax. You are taxed all over the place for using the roads for personal transportation. You're taxed all over the place. The taxes you pay when you get that driver's license, do you think they don't make any money off of that stuff? Yes, they do. They do. But how do they use the money? And that's the other key issue to this. But before I go there, I have to stress the point. The other thing that is so outrageous about this thing is this anything to do with transportation. It doesn't. We're all impacted by transportation. Air transportation, not as much as highway, because more stuff is shipped on the ground. Even if something is shipped on a train, there's freight to it, and it goes from one city to another on a train, it still ends up on the road to get to the location. It doesn't go from a very, very few stores have a train track right behind them and actually take everything, take all their produce off of the train. No, they take it out of a truck. So everything is impacted. Grandma's cost of living is going to go up with these toll taxes. So grandma is going to pay for the toll roads, whether you like it or not. And the small businesses, I have talked to so many small businesses about this stuff. They are crushed by this stuff. Small businesses like, you know, electricians, plumbers, carpenters, landscaping companies, these that have to drive across to drive to your house to repair stuff and service your house and things like that, or service wherever, you know, whatever type of work they're doing, they have to commute across the countryside, the cities, municipalities, wherever. They are traveling locally. And I know, and Mike and people that I spoke to, some of the landscaping companies, they were paying over $1,400 a month in toll taxes. $1,400 a month in toll taxes. And others said, you know, I just can't go, I can't take the projects on the other side. I can't afford the tolls anymore. If for me to keep going, I can't go and schedule the jobs the way I want to because I have to go back and forth so much that I can't afford the toll, so I have to limit my business to one side of town. I can't do it anymore. They're hurting small business. And then the other piece of this is, and of course, it's, you know, why or who's doing this to us? I don't see how anybody can support the toll taxes. you know, the Republicans are supposed to be against taxes. They're supposed to support the small businesses. They're supposed, and they now, of course, they're claiming to care about the middle class. Well, if you believe in that, you can't do this. Only a rhino would say that a toll tax is a good tax. A rhino would say a toll is a good tax. Hey, John Micah, Congressman John Micah, rhino. We'll get to him later. But on the other side of the tracks, as I call them, the Demo-rats, how could a Demo-rat go out there and support a toll tax that is going to, one, increase taxes for that middle income person, middle to lower income people, because if they're driving to work and they're having to pay that toll, they're stuck with it. So they're paying that, and they're increasing the cost of living for the middle and lower income people. So the Demo-rats, what are you doing? You're either a rhino or a Demo-rat. Take your pick. If you support this stuff, you're not doing it for the right reason. You're harming everybody by doing it, and it's just absolutely despicable. And as I was saying there, when you go to work, I talk to people here in Orlando who use the toll roads. I don't use them. I don't believe in them. And you know, in an average month, they can spend $100 on the toll roads. That's more than some of their electric bills, some of their other, the equivalents, what it cost per mile. And I did some math. I'll see if I can pull up some of those numbers. And this is what it used to be a couple years ago. They've increased all the toll taxes here in Orlando again. The culture of corruption known as the Orlando Orange County Expressway Authority, they raised the tolls again. But I went out there and compared. And anybody can do this, especially here in Florida. Go out to the expressway site, and it'll tell you how much the tolls are, you know, at the different spots. Go out there and calculate if you drive the whole extension of the turnpike or the extension of the 408 toll road here in Orlando. Go out there and figure that out and see how much the toll taxes are per mile. Then go do the, based on how many miles you get to a gallon in your car. And I think the error is, see, if you take all the three taxes in there, the three taxes, you get, I think it's somewhere around 50 cents a gallon in the gas tax, but how many miles do you get to a gallon of gas in your car, and compare that to what you pay per mile on toll taxes. It's outrageous. And so people who are spending 100, and probably now more like 150, 100, over 100 bucks a month in toll taxes to drive to and from work, that's all money they're not spending in the local economy. That's money that's taken out of the sales tax revenues. It's not helping the economy, and it doesn't help transportation. It ends up forcing lower, middle and lower income people off of the expressways. So now they're on the lower roads. So you have more congestion on the lower roads and fewer people on the expressways, which are the ones that are the most fuel efficient. We should want people using the expressways because they don't waste as much gas. But we don't believe in doing the right thing for people, not in this country anymore. All you can do is look and see what they're doing. So this whole scam with the toll road stuff is just it's despicable, and we need to make a bigger issue. I was quite happy to see the people out there starting to really fight about the I-95 tolls. We need to get this out there louder and louder. We need to get it in front of every single candidate, every single person in public office, and we need to start getting, and I've tried to arrange this in the past, but I'm hoping maybe now I'm going to get some people to come forward. Let's go ahead and have a caravan. There would be nothing greater to me than right here in Orlando, have what's called the Lake Underhill Toll Plaza, have a rush hour shutdown. Now, for a rush hour shutdown, I would drive on that road. That's the only time I would drive on it, because I don't pay the tolls. I don't believe in them. I don't believe in being screwed over by this government, and I don't believe in supporting the government and the corruption that it does. So go out there and just totally shut down the toll plazas at rush hour traffic. I think it'd be great. So we got to do some things like that. And the media, you know, because the media really is in bed with the government, they don't want to talk a whole lot about this, but we have to make a demonstration like that to get the media to do some coverage, and we really do have to get people involved and pounding on the doors, pounding on the phones of these elected crooks, as I call them. And, you know, I was talking about the Expressway Authority, and I'm going to get Charlie back involved because I know he likes to talk about what's happened with this Orlando Orange County Expressway Authority. The grand jury said it's a culture of corruption. A culture of corruption. The land deals that go on, selling stuff back and forth, property, and then the corruption of good old Congressman Daniel Webster. He was the blue ribbon panel, also a rhino, who promoted getting a toll tax hike. His blue ribbon panel, yes, he thought it was right. They have a toll road named after this guy. Now, would you want to be a Republican and have a tax named after you? Well, he does. He's proud of his tax. And he's supposed to be a conservative. technically, he's my congressional representative now, but with the redistricting, he is not. So I won't be voting against him this time. I didn't vote for him last time either. I'm not going to support the corruption. I will vote for the no-party candidate. I'll vote for whoever. Before I will vote for these scumbuckets that do this stuff. Absolutely despicable. And I'm telling you, everybody out there listening, please, please call Mitt Romney. Call Romney's campaign. He says he cares about the working class. See if he's willing to say that the toll roads are wrong, that toll taxes are a bad thing. Toll taxes hurt small business. Let's see if he's willing to say that. It's Governor McDonald up there in Virginia, who's also a Republican, who's out there pushing for this, and in his case, as is in Florida, the toll taxes are used to pay for rail. The toll taxes aren't being used for the highways. They go out there and they play all sorts of games. They rob the trust funds. They play all sorts of games, just like they've played with Social Security. It is not for the highways. Right here in Central Florida, they're putting tolls on I-4, that John Mike abandoned, that he was against them before he was forum routine. They're putting tolls on I-4 so that they can pay for SunRail, which we prefer to call ScamRail here on American Statesman. ScamRail, which is nothing but a free set of tracks and a free deal for CSX. It's not going to do anything to help transportation in Florida. It's going to hose it up. But John Mica, who has been in Congress way too long, since 1992, has been pushing for his friends at CSX to go out there and have this high speed rail and scam rail. Governor Scott shut down high speed rail, but didn't have the courage to shut down scam rail because John Michael was holding him hostage to his Port of Miami funding. So that's how sleazy and scummy John Michael is. And yes, I can't stand John Mica, and I'll probably say his name a few times. Don't vote for John Mica. And everybody out there listening, he's the chair of the House Transportation Committee. He is the chair of the U.S. House Transportation Committee, which you call his office and the House Transportation Committee office, whatever, and tell them to stop it. Call Speaker Boehner, whichever way you like to say it, and tell him to get his rhino out of that chair. Why do they put rhinos on the chair of these committees? So, no, I don't like John Mica. Well, I have let Charlie out here long enough. I know he's bound to have a few things to say about the Expressway Authority, the Orlando Orange County Expressway Authority, and, of course, tolls here in Florida. Hey, Charlie, welcome back.
Thank you. That was a pretty good talk you just gave on the scum. The scum who operate this place. But you forgot to mention a few other people. You forgot to mention the Orange County Commissioners. And they're in, what is it, Teresa Jacobs, and how she is on the Express Authority. And what is it, the culture of corruption in Central Florida. It's so bad that it goes all the way for the whole area. It's not only the Express Authority, but it's also Orange County Commission, Orlando City, except for Phil Diamond. He seems to vote in favor of the people all the time. But getting back to the toll roads, whenever you have a toll road that is paid for, that was the original agreement, paid for. There is nothing in the agreement with the people that says we will decorate the toll roads, that we would put those walls up, that we would decorate and put a lot of expensive plants and make them attractive. We don't do it to I-4. So why are we doing it to the toll roads? To keep the money coming in. Because whenever they add more work on the toll roads, then they says, oh, well, we have to keep the tolls on there because they're not paid for yet. 408's been paid for, the beach line's paid for. Those two toll roads should be free, and everybody should actually start getting on them free. Are we supposed to go ahead and sue the Orange County Commission and the Toll Road Agency? We shouldn't have to, because this is our country, not theirs. The agreement was toll roads, once they're paid, they become free. That means all the toll booths taken off, there are no transponders and no ticket takers. You have a free way, just like I-4. And then we just go ahead, and if we have gridlock on it, we have gridlock on it, but you don't pay for any of it. The whole thing about it is you can continue to pay the tolls, but if you want to do something to stop them, then that means you have to take action. And the best way to do it is to file a lawsuit. It may take a few years, but you can. There's always a way to expedite it, and I'm sure some attorney will be happy to do it. The only other thing is to boycott it, which people will not do. And then the third thing is to just cause gridlock on it by driving up to the thing and then stopping and turning your motor off and waiting for the cops to come and arrest you for blocking traffic. But there you would have to make sure that you have already started some kind of a legal action against the toll road agency. The only other thing you can do is you can have an audit of where the money's going, who it's going to, and why so much is going to the head of it, because it's only 120 miles. So why is it that we're paying $274,000 to the person in charge? Why is it that the executives of the toll road agency get money to the tune of collectively about $5 million every year? It's kind of ridiculous that you're paying 50 cents a dollar, $5 or $6 for the livelihood of so many people, when you should be riding on the roads free. Sally's got a plan on how to pay off the roads. But the thing is you have to stop all of this illegal beautification programs. That is not a toll road. Every toll road is supposed to pay for itself. And one other thing that you should know about: why is it that we're expanding the toll roads and then the builders come in and build their buildings alongside of it, and we, the people, wind up paying for the beginning of the off-ramps or the total off-ramp into those building districts? Seems like the builders, like Mr. Keene and others, have the best of both worlds. They don't have to pay for the toll road, and they don't have to pay for the off-ramp. The taxpayers pay for it. So whatever he does with his property that he bought dirt cheap, and now he's building homes on it or buildings, he's got a nice profit. Why doesn't he build the road out there? Why doesn't he widen the existing road so he can build his stuff out there? Because it costs too much money. They want the taxpayers to pay for it because, oh, it's only going to cost the average American, oh, $10 a month on their taxes. The toll roads are paid by your use. It's a tax. Taxes can be paid at the pump just like in California, and California has the best roads in the country. Florida has great roads too, just like California. But California pays for theirs through the pump. And the only toll roads California has are generally for a tunnel or a bridge, and then it's removed. There was only one toll road when I was back there in 1970s, and that was a bridge going over the Los Angeles River. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, sit and watch the sitcoms and the football, and don't do anything, and let your kids pay through the nose for all of the spending that's going on now. Because SunRail is going to cost you a lot of money. And let me tell you, we the people said no to rail systems for commuter purposes. We are so spread out. Approximately 1 million people in Orange County, parts of Seminole. And you're going to have a commuter rail that's going to cost you and your children money for years to come, with no real ridership on it. We are not New York City. We are not Chicago. We are not Miami. We are Central Florida, a tourist place where people come in their cars, and then they leave in their cars. The rail system is the boondoggle of John Mica for the benefit of CSX, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he didn't get a lot of money or is even promised a job with CSX, which would be considered bribery. Bribery is a felony. But if you don't get off your couch and start looking into this and filing cases, nothing will get done. Just like we're having trouble getting a case through the courts now. Because it could be, ladies and gentlemen, that your Constitution has been pirated by the very elected people we put into office and we trusted. We are our own worst enemy. Freedom does not exist without God and the military. Freedom does not exist without God and the military. Back to you, Sally.
Well, you sure said a lot there, and I got a couple things I'm going to follow up because you made me remember a few things. Talking about the Orlando Orange County Expressway Authority, talking about wasting money on beautification. They spent over $3 million on a fake suspension bridge that was supposed to be the gateway to the city. If you look at that thing and don't laugh, then you must be drinking Kool-Aid or something. I don't know. It's the stupidest.
Put me back on mute.
Okay. I will put you back on mute for now. You have to go out there and raise your hand again if you want to get back on. And I have Miss Texas is going to be joining us in just a minute because toll roads are an issue with Texas these days, too. Good old Rick Perry, another rhino, but he was a Democrat before he was a rhino. This fake suspension bridge, over $3 million. And you know it was a backroom deal that they gave to their friends or whoever else, all corruption, which is good. Going back to what Charlie said, too, how they – where they put the roads and stuff like that, that's wheeling and dealing, selling land back and forth, insider trading to the max. That's what it really amounts to. Insider trading and money laundering is what this, that's why they're called the culture of corruption. And they, when they put the, if right here in Central Florida, if they took the tolls off of the 408, you know, if they phased them out, which is part of my plan, phase them out, they would not need any to widen any I-4. I-4 would not need to be widened if they would take the tolls off of the Beltway. But the trucks don't use the Beltway because of the tolls. So if they would take the tolls off, even if they don't take 100, you know, phase them out. The older parts that have been out there for years, take those part, take the tolls off there, phase them out along the way. They would not have to build more roads in Orange County. But they don't care about that. You have to understand toll taxes have nothing to do with improving transportation, no more than commuter rail, trains to nowhere that John Mica loves to have anything to do with transportation. It will be useless. Rail transit here in Central Florida is useless. We are too spread out. And you can't go underground because of the obvious reasons with these with the climate here. So that was the other, let's see. Just so others know, in the past I had a website called Tolls Create Gridlock, tollscreategridlock.org, and somebody hacked into it, and I have not been able to get it reset up yet, but I'm going to get that back out there. The developers, yes, again, that's all the insider trading, just massive, massive games that they play on that stuff. And Charlie mentioned Miami. Miami is definitely more congested than it is here in Central Florida. But they've had Tri-Rail down there. It's been a failure. It's bankrupt. They wanted to do high-speed rail across the Florida thing so they could bail it out. That was part of the deal. High-speed rail to bail out the bankrupt Tri-Rail. And the also there was another rail transit system in Jacksonville, which was called the Riderless Express or Riderless Rail or something stupid like that because nobody was on it. Nobody uses it. It has nothing to do with transportation. They want to waste billions and billions of dollars creating government jobs with rail transit and then create just government jobs to take money from us. That's what this is. It's not about transportation. And we the people, the lower and middle, lower income and middle class people are the ones who get screwed the most. Romney couldn't care less what the toll roads are. I think he's got enough money to pay his tolls. Let's see, and so does Obama. On that note, Ms. Texas, you're on. What's going on with the toll roads in good old Texas?
Hi, y'all. First,
yes, hello. Welcome to the show.
Well, it's either last year or year before last. We went to war with Perry here over Highway 287 that runs from San Antonio up through the hill country, and basically on up to the Canadian border. It changes over and intertwines with some interstates, but Perry was started trying to in the city of San Antonio because the highway comes straight through San Antonio, and it's a very busy highway, and it needs expansion and it needs improving. But so says to pay for that expansion improving, he wanted to go in and put a toll road on there. Of course, the road's already paid. You know, we paid for the road through taxes. But he wanted to go in there and put a toll road in. Well, he got stopped at the pass. One woman in San Antonio, I can't remember what her name is, but she started the battle. And with help, he didn't get his toll road. Well, it's either a year or two later, and we're back to the same thing again. They're wanting to do more work on 287, and he's wanting to put that damn toll road back in there again. Now, they've done this in Houston. Interstate 10 through the city of Houston, well, through the west side of Houston, they have put in a toll road. We paid for that damn freeway. But what they did was the center lane, they took and expanded the outer lanes and then went in and put the toll road down the center lane and then came back. And how they got away with this, I don't know. Yeah, I do. You got so many stupid people sitting up there on those, you know, on these boards and everything. They came back and told them that that lane going down through the center of the highway was a new lane and that we hadn't paid for that. So, therefore, they got to put their toll roads in. Now, the times that I have driven through the city of Houston at rush hour and so forth, I don't see people using it. What's the point? We've got one going in from Austin. It's going to go through our little town and going down to the valley. Now, the excuse of putting that in, Perry went through and they bought up the land and everything and sold it to Spaniards. And Spaniards are building the toll road, and they own the toll road.
Was that Centra?
Yep.
So it's a foreign group. That's just for others who aren't familiar with it. This is another part of this road highway scam, toll scam, is they literally sell off our public assets, our public infrastructure to foreign entities for these toll roads. I mean, they say it a 99-year lease or something stupid like that, but it all amounts to them selling off our assets, our public assets, our infrastructure, which is key to so many things, our emergency services and national security, things like that, to foreign entities. That should be against the law. That should be treason.
And what I don't, you know, how did they convince these people that they had to sell this land to them? Is it going through farm and ranch country out there? I mean, yeah, it's in wide open spaces, but they had to force those people to sell that land to them. And then turn around and sell it to the Spaniards. I don't, you know, I'm going, you're out of your mind. And this is the same thing they want to do in San Antonio.
Well, we've got to shut it down. And Texas, I mean, you know, Florida was the leader of the toll roads. Texas may actually have come close to taking over because literally that idiot Perry took regular, not even interstates or expressways, just regular roads and started converting them into toll roads. I mean, he wanted to convert all of them. He had his Texas Trans Corridor thing.
That's exactly what the 287 thing was leading up to, the Texas Trans Corridor.
Yep.
And now they're talking about going up Interstate 35, which will go from here across to the Canadian border on the East Coast. And they're talking about going in there and putting in a toll road across there.
And then a big part of that started with George Bush, George W., when he wanted to have the North American Union and there weren't going to be any borders.
Well, what people have to... And we're older and we're smarter and we're wiser because we've been around the block a few times. But what these kids have got to realize, sometimes you have to give up a little bit of convenience to let the state know that you're not going to put up with it. I mean, this 130 that's coming close to my little town out here and going through, I drove it one time. I was coming back off a trip up to Missouri, and I decided to try out the toll road. I knew how to go to get around it, but I thought, well, I'll give it a try. I don't know how many miles I drove, but I know it ended up costing me $6 before I could blink an eye. And I asked the guy at the toll booth, I said, do they plan on paying for this damn thing in 1 year or what? I said, why are the tolls so high? He said, well, the state doesn't have any control over that. That's all up to the people who are running it.
Yeah, exactly.
So exactly. What you're talking about a boycott. What these young kids and the younger generation has got to realize, and some old folks are just as damn hard-headed too, stop giving them your money. Stop telling them it's okay. You don't have to drive that toll road unless you absolutely want to.
And
so
that is, I was going to say, to me, that is the key element of this. And in the case of Central Florida, I mean, so many people are transplants here, and so many of them are from the Northeast. And for whatever crazy reason, the people in the Northeast seem to like to pay taxes. Let's face it, some of the highest taxes are up in the Northeast, New York, Massachusetts, that area. They seem to love to give their money to the government. Don't ask me why, but they seem to. So they seem to be more willing to accept it. And many of us who have been here forever don't use the toll roads. We go around them. But you still get this other group out there, and it's like, and you know, the politicians, they say, well, but, you know, they'll pay it. They're stupid. You know, the Americans are stupid. They'll do it. They're weak. They're not going to be sacrificed. They're gonna pay it.
Yeah, put it out there. You know, we can outlast them. They'll give up. They'll do it. Now, I can tell you
exactly what their mentality is.
The people up north and everything, are, you know, they are more willing to put up with this crap than we do because we have land. You go up north, they don't have no land. They build their houses on the streets. They don't have front yards and backyards.
True.
They don't know what it is to live someplace like Texas or Florida. And I didn't realize that until my friend from Pennsylvania came down here last year and visited with me, and she says, why do y'all have fences? I said, why don't y'all have front yards? You know, people walk out of their house. The houses are built straight up like a chimney, and you want, they're either apartments or their houses, and you walk out of them, and you walk onto a stoop, and from the stoop you go to the sidewalk. I said, my house, I have a front yard and a backyard. And I put a fence around it to keep the critters and the people I don't want in my yard out. I said, that makes your best neighbors.
Yeah, that's right.
But, you know, they're used to having to live with that crap because, and most of that part of the country up there is all Democrat anyway. So, I mean, that says a mouthful in itself.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's not like if the toll roads truly fix something, you could justify it, but it doesn't. It doesn't improve traffic. And it makes everybody's cost of living go up. This is the other thing when, you know, I hear Republicans promote this is a user fee. It's a tax. So every time you hear a Republican say it, would you tell them to shut up and be honest? If they can't speak the truth, shut up. Or, you know, speak the truth and say it's a tax increase.
Well, you don't hear the Democrats getting out there and telling them it's a tax either. I mean, I remember when toll roads started, and in Texas, we thought people were idiots that paid for a toll road because it was said when you pay for the road, the tolls will quit.
Yeah.
Well, if you've been through Missouri and Iowa and those parts of the state, hell, they've had toll roads for as long as I am old. You trying to tell me those roads aren't paid for yet?
Well, that's what they did here in Florida, the Turnpike. The Florida Turnpike was built in 57. Tolls were supposed to be on it for 10 years. Well, guess what? They're still there. 20 years later, 50-something years later. So that's just a scam. That's the way they play it. They said the same thing for the what used to be called the East-West Expressway here in Orlando. Now it's called the 408. That was supposed to be a temporary one. And then how many people think that they can't put tolls on interstates, which when Eisenhower built the interstate system, they couldn't. But then what they did, the sleazy, slimy scumbags of Washington, D.C., they called it a pilot program, interstate toll pilot program. So all little by little, they started putting tolls on interstates all over the country in bits and pieces. And parts, you know, beltway pieces, whatever. This was their way to indoctrinate people into paying the toll tax and acting like they didn't pay any other tax.
Well, here in Texas, they pulled that little game in Houston and got away with it by saying, we're not tolling you for the road you paid for. We put in a new lane, two new lanes. That's unpaid for, and the tolls are going to pay for it.
And it's a lie.
Down the middle of the road? Give me a break.
Yeah,
you know.
It's a lie. Well, and the other thing, and I mean right here in Florida, it's well known that they want to put tolls on I-4 because they have no money to pay for their stupid SunRail scam rail thing. So people who are paying the toll taxes are really paying for the rail that they don't use. So it's totally the opposite of a user fee. And, you know, I was mentioning at the beginning of the show that Governor Rick Scott had defunded the high-speed rail, but right now it looks like there's another attempt to put it out there again. And this is all tied into CSX. This is money for CSX. In the case here, what they did was SunRail scam rail. Here, literally, the CSX owns the tracks. We have to lease them from them, but we're liable for every accident on the tracks. The taxpayer is liable even for a freight train being derailed off of their tracks. It is a sweetheart deal for John Micah's friends. John Micah is one of the biggest crooks up in Washington, D.C. there is. And, of course, good old Mike Huckabee seems to like him. So what do I say about Mike Huckabee?
Well, you know, I think, you know, people aren't going to read papers and people aren't going to go on the Internet and look at the politics that's going on in the states and cities and counties. I think when it comes to big decisions such as those toll roads and the rail and all that crap, I think they should have to put a damn billboard up telling people what it is they want to do.
Public notification.
That's it. Put the billboard up, people will read the billboard, and they may get upset enough to pay attention to what's going on. Because that's how they're getting all this crap accomplished, because they know people aren't paying attention.
Exactly. the benefit we do have with the interstate highway, especially this 95 thing, you know, truck drivers are out there aware of this stuff, and we really got to get the truck driving associations to really help us out on this. So everybody that's got the independent trucks out there, put the thing on their on the side of their truck that they can. I know, you know, if you drive for another company and they have the painted trucks or whatever, you can't do much. But even those companies ought to be doing something about it because it's increasing their cost to do business too.
Well, so some of those trucking companies, though, are union. The independent drivers aren't union. But they're owner-operators, but a lot, some of those trucking companies out there, especially the ones that operate within the cities and everything, and I haven't seen Central Freight run up and down the roads in a long time. Of course, I'm not out on the road like I used to be, but most of those main carriers and everything, they're all unions, so they're not going to fight it. But it's your independents, they're the ones that it's going to hurt. And the problem, the main problem that a trucker has, an independent, is that he's on the road trying to make a damn living, and he doesn't have time to get off the road to go and fight this stuff.
Well,
I know.
Actually,
we used to do it.
There's the North Carolina Trucking Association has information out there to help fight the I-95 tolls, and I'll go ahead and give the email address and the phone number here. This is a long email, so it's makes pretty good sense. I mean, it's North Carolina Trucking Association, so it's NCTA membership, NCTA membership at nctrucking.com. Again, it's North Carolina Trucking Association. And the phone number is 919-281-2742. Again, that's 919-281-2742. They want people out there. They've actually got some bills they've been trying to fight out there. And there are some state representatives out there that are fighting this stuff. So people need to get behind the representatives that are actually helping. But again, the media, well, we know how useless the media is. If the media would put this out there, they would have people jumping up and down screaming. Every time the media covers it here in Central Florida, the outrage is loud. But the media has been told to behave themselves by the government because they truly work for the government. They're not really freedom of the press anymore. Kind of thing. And out there in Texas, you've got Terry Hall, the TURF, Texans Uniting for Reform. She's out there massively. Have you met her? Are you familiar with her work?
No, I haven't met her, but yes, I'm familiar with her work. She is a hero here in the state of Texas.
Excellent. We had her on the show a while back. And let's see, then, there was the other, I contacted the Owner-Operator Independent Drivers Association to try to get them to start rallying together because, again, as you said, they're the ones that are hit the biggest on this stuff. Oh, New Jersey, get this. New Jersey is back to reimbursing tolls for union employees. So if you're a union employee, you don't have to pay the tolls. That's discrimination.
Exactly.
That shouldn't be allowed either.
Exactly. And the trucking companies are going to get their money back. Because they belong to the union.
Yep. Yeah, so, I mean, it's discriminately assessed. Not everybody has to pay the same price. There's a petition to say no to the I-4 tolls. Go to www.virginiatollfree95.com. That's virginiatollfree95.com. Go there and sign the petition. I did that earlier today. And then there is also notollsi95.com. That's another group fighting them. So there's all these different groups that are out there doing stuff, but we got to bring everybody together. We've got to get people actually coordinating this effort together to really make some noise. And then there's also stop95tolls.com. And there's a Facebook page out there. The other that I have to make sure, and I have it on the show page, but I'll go ahead and say it here, too, for those listening. Make sure you contact Congressman John Mica at 407-644-6422, 407-644-6422. Let him know you're tired of him wasting our money on trains to nowhere. He wants to spend billions and billions and billions on trains to nowhere, and he is wanting to put the tolls on all the interstates. That's what John Micah stands for. Also, make sure you mention that you understand that his daughter's company got $13 million in earmark money in the past for some kind of consulting for transportation. Those are the kind of things that seem to happen with John Micah. He does not belong there. Needs to be fired, but unfortunately the Republican Party seems to rally behind him. The Republican Party seems to like rhinos. And then there's a couple of articles about he lifted the ban on the tolls. He had to actually lift the ban on the tolls to try and get his money for his scam rail thing. And let's see. And then if you really want to find out who really is benefiting from the toll roads, now, there's a couple of websites out there, but there's this one that's called Toll Road News, tollroadnews.com. And they usually have the most recent articles about who's fighting the tolls in different places because that's, you know, cutting into their money. And you get a sense for how much, who all the players are, who the different tolling authorities are, Sentra, all these other, it's just amazing what a scam this is. I think toll roads, I've frequently said, what's happening with the interstate highway system is so symbolic of what's happening to this whole country. Selling it off to foreign interests, taxing us to death on it, trying to force us onto high-speed rail and take away our personal transportation, it's just disgusting. And the interstate highway system is so critical to so many other things. And, you know, they act like this user fee thing. They seem to think that only joyriders use the roads, and that's just so not true. I mean, when you think about everything, and, you know, you can share, pipe in on some of the things that you, what you use the roads for, but national security, the interstate highway was built to support the national security, the military vehicles that had to be strong enough and had to be able to support the need for a national security crisis for transport. And then emergency evacuations. What would happen without the interstate highway system and the expressways in the event of an emergency, you know, emergency evacuations? Now, of course, when they get flooded like I-10 did in Katrina, that's another story. But prior to Katrina hitting, it was a major evacuation route.
Well, that's why they put the I-30. It's supposed to be an evacuation route from the valley, the border down there, to get them out in case of hurricanes. My question is, are they going to collect tolls from everybody they evacuate? They going to put them on that toll road and make them pay for tolls? I mean, and to get people to use it, because nobody is using that toll road, they are going to make it 85 miles an hour from outside of Austin down to where it ends down here by my little town. 85 miles an hour to try and get people to drive it. Truck drivers won't use it. They say, that's too damn fast, because they can't run that fast. They're going to make them go slower and let the cars go faster. So therefore, they said, that's too dangerous.
It is too dangerous. That's nuts.
Well, what have you got in Germany? Think about what they're doing. Think about UN Agenda 21. Think about sustainable development. Think about, you know, and that's what they're doing. They're trying to fashion this after what's going on in Germany with the Autobahn.
Oh, my. I'm telling you. How crazy. I'm telling you, we got to get these idiots out of public office. I mean, it's so desperate. We need people to get involved and pay attention and shut down this craziness. I'm telling you, it's absolutely crazy. It really is.
Well, I'm going to tell you what's disheartening. I went to a forum the other night with a bunch of county judges that are running for office. It was really informative, but I'm sitting there talking to a gentleman. He belongs to the same groups I do, and he's a Tea Partier, and I'm thinking this man is informed. And we're sitting talking about a new restriction that got passed here, which is you cannot do your remodeling to your home anymore without going and getting permission and going through their contractors for the city. And he says, what do you think that's all about? I said, what do you mean, what do I think that's all about? I've been trying to tell you for the last year. That's sustainable development. You in Agenda 21. Oh, no, no, I don't believe in that conspiracy theory. I said, then why are you in the Tea Party? Now, this man for a year, I've been preaching on this stuff for a year, and he's sitting telling me he doesn't believe in it. It's jumping up and biting him in the butt.
Well, I don't know if you saw it, but Glenn Beck, he has a book he's going to be releasing just before Christmas, or in time for Christmas giving, Glenn Beck's Agenda 21, or something about the Agenda 21. So I wonder if once he puts it out there, some people will start to think a little bit more about it.
I hope so, because I tell you, I have talked to people in the last month, because I'm not able to get out there and do what I was doing before, but I am still talking to people. And it's still amazing me, the people are just saying, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. I'm going, go to the internet. It's there. You can read it. They put it out there for the world to read.
Yeah,
and then you come
on the United Nations website.
I know it. That's what I'm doing. I told them. And go to unamerica.org. They've even split it up to America. They've got it broke out now. They're telling you what they're just going to do in America, not talking about the rest of the world. But
we had a lively discussion last week with Rob out there. And
yep.
Rob
is one of them. I mean, I've been thinking about Rob all week. He's a planner. And that poor baby is so sucked in that he does not realize, yes, he's a planner, and a planner wants everything in a certain order and nice and neat and clean. And that way of thinking, the UN's way of thinking, fits right into his thought process. But if I was a planner, and I was working on this crap, and I saw stuff come in the way of taking an area that people are using right now and enjoying in the middle of a town square and going to tear it up and let the trees grow, I think that would make me wonder what the hell is going on. We've got a fountain that's been in this town for over, I know it's got to be at least 100 years old. And it's been there ever since I was a kid. And it, you know, it's a pretty fountain, and they have water, the lights on it, and it changes color at night when it's going and everything. And they're talking about taking that thing out and putting that whole town square right there back into wild growth. Now, if I was a planner, and if you were a planner, so wouldn't that make you wonder what in the hell they think they're doing? So,
yep.
And people with these toll roads, a lot of people look at them like we were taught back when that toll roads were to pay for the highway because they didn't have money to pay for it and you need to maintain that highway. They didn't come back and tell you then that it was taxes, and we didn't think of that. We didn't even think about it. And they're pulling the same game now.
But when you get into the toll roads, the other aspect of it, which is definitely, once again, a Agenda 21 thing, public-private partnerships. And I tell you, Centra, they call Centra a public-private partnership. Here in Florida, people need to know two different things here. The past session of the legislature, they went and passed a bill that said all new expressways will be toll roads. Anything new is going to be a toll road. Across the board, everything's toll roads, and they're all going to be owned by somebody else who's going to be a public-private partnership. The Florida State Constitution says the state of Florida is not allowed to enter into a partnership with any private sector. They're allowed to make investments, but they are not allowed to be into a partnership. So a public-private partnership is totally unconstitutional in the state of Florida. But nobody in the Florida, nobody in the stupid media of Florida, seems to care about the fact that it's unconstitutional. This is the way they get away with all this garbage. And the thing with these PPPs, public-private partnerships, this is a massive collusion of government and the private sector, and it ends up being the takeover of the government, and it's just, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's it goes into the Agenda 21 big time.
Yeah, so Rob, if you're out there listening to this and you say that you don't see this happening in Florida, put your glasses on. Get your eyeglass cleaner and clean your damn glasses and start really paying attention.
I need to give Rob a chance to respond back, which I don't know if he's out there listening today or not. But again, I have to stress, he is a conservative. He is not a liberal by any means. He doesn't come close to being the liberal. He's in on the Republican Executive Committee for his county and stuff like that. So,
well, I'm not saying that he's a liberal. I'm just saying he's one of those that his mindset works right in with what they're doing, but he's so wrapped up in what it is he is doing, he's not looking at what is really going on. And you can be a conservative and be a liberal and do the same thing. You don't have to be a Republican or a Democrat. You can just be like most people are today. You're so rolled up in what you're doing and what you love to do, and generally he loves to do it because his family's been doing it for years, but he is not, how is it, you can't see the trees for the forest? Or you can't see the forest for the trees?
Can't see the forest for the trees, right.
And that's what he's doing.
Well, I think that's what a lot of people do. I mean, a lot of people say,
exactly.
No, that's not happening. And it's like,
exactly, because they're so busy with their own little world and their own little group of people that they're with that they don't have any concept of what's really going on in their world.
Right. That is, I mean, that's it, and they don't see it. And it's kind of like, you know, the conspiracy stuff. It was Eisenhower who first told us about this stuff. I mean, this isn't anything new. I mean, did people think Eisenhower was a loon? I don't think so. He saw what was happening. And George Washington even warned us about some of these things. That's why he warned us about the parties. The political parties is one of the pieces. He said it's developing those who will want to take over, those who will want to take control. And so this truly goes back to history. I mean, the fall of Rome, people, come on. The fall of Rome and whatever you want to call what's happening in Greece these days. But it's history repeating itself. And, I mean, I remember years ago, my mother was never talking to me about any kind of conspiracy or anything like that. But she said there'll come a day when the government does so much for the people that the people will expect it from everything, and that's when the country will fall. And, I mean, that was really what she said. It's going to be, there won't be a free society. It'll be a socialistic society. And this is what's happened over this gradual time, and a big part of it is the way they have done this indoctrination from this Agenda 21 stuff. And, you know, people don't want to believe it. Go out there and look at the website, UN. Go to the United Nations website. It's out there. ICLEI, which is the International Council of Local Environmental Initiatives, go out there. This should prove to you that the United Nations is dictating to us how where we're going to behave. The United Nations wants to charge us a tax. Yeah, it's all part of the same thing. But and transportation, you know, part of the reason why we even talk about this and talk about the toll roads is the mentality of the United Nations Agenda 21. And you can go out there and read it for yourself. Sustainable development. It says personal transportation, personal property, personal transportation is not sustainable. They do not want the individual to have personal transportation. They do not believe that you have the right to own personal property, which includes a home and a car and such personal property. This is what it is, and that's. Because, I mean, it took me a long time. You know, I hesitated in the beginning to talk about this as a little. I didn't know as much about it because people would say you were a conspiracy loon. Just go read it. You don't have to take my word for it. go listen to the stuff that Glenn Beck has on it where he can give you all the research on it. He's got, you know, you can go replay his different shows on it and then go out there to the various UN websites and across the board. This is what's happening, people.
I just tell him I'm a loon, period, so it really doesn't matter what kind of loon I am.
Well, I'm told I'm crazy. So people used to think I was crazy because I thought these toll roads. I said, it's not right. It's a ripoff. They're taking your money from you. Why do you want to give them your money? They're wasting your money and squandering your money on other stuff. And, I mean, I'm telling you, for those, I mean, a lot of people come to Orlando, Florida to visit. Of course, if you go straight out to the Magic Kingdom world and all that stuff, you don't see downtown Orlando. But you ought to make a point to go downtown and don't drive on the 408. You don't have to drive on it. Drive on Lake Underhill, downtown, right, I guess it's like southeast of right downtown. It's by the airport there, a little, the executive airport. But you drive around Lake Underhill, and you see the bridge, the 408 that goes over Lake Underhill, and you see this fake suspension bridge. It's the stupidest looking thing. It looks stupid, and it wasted $3 million. And actually, the other thing, you know, Charlie was talking earlier about the cosmetics out there. And what they've been doing all sorts of work on the Expressway Authority, the 408 specifically, the 408 Expressway. They did widen it and change a few lanes here and there and did some of that stuff, but most of it has been cosmetics, making it pretty and doing the landscaping. And I'm like, you know, I don't really have a problem with making the community look nice, but don't use toll money for that. That is, you know, pay off the tolls, and you know what? You can have a community event, and people would help do stuff to plant stuff and things like that. You don't have to tax people for that kind of stuff. And I mean, you'd have to see how much money they have spent making it pretty.
Yeah, but Sally, if they did that, then the preferred landscapers and the preferred nurseries wouldn't get the business, the money from the state to buy the materials and so forth. You know, they would lose their private partnerships with them.
Exactly. We would get, and that's the other thing in Florida. They have these closed bids, which I think they probably do in other states too. There should be no such thing as a closed bid for public business. If it's a public contract, it should be an open bid. Everybody should see what they're doing. But they do these closed bids so they can pick and choose who they want to give the money to. It's everything to do with this toll road stuff, it is a scam in every which way. It's bad for transportation. It's bad for the economy. It's bad for the environment. And people even said, well, what do you mean? Why is it bad for the environment? Well, it's pretty simple. If you're forcing people off of the expressway onto the lower roads, you are wasting fuel and creating more road runoff. The expressway, the free flow in traffic, where you keep moving. Of course, yes, we have traffic jams at times, but outside of the rush hour, when the cars keep moving, that is the most fuel efficient and the least pollutant there is. And so if those who truly care about the environment, you should also be fighting to get rid of the tolls, because forcing people onto the secondary roads and creating that congestion is wasting fuel and causing more road runoff. And it's also more air pollution, you know, so it's even bad for the environment. Everything to do with toll roads is wrong. It's nothing but a scam against the people for a bunch of crooked politicians who want to take your money and make their deals. And in some cases, and I believe, and I still have to do some more research, but in the case of this public-private partnership, you really have to get some people who can dig in to do some heavy-duty investigating. But what ends up happening, too, is these public servants, these elected public servants that think they're king and queen and whatever, they end up being investors in these toll roads. They end up being stockholders or some piece of the business, and they end up making money in the back. Insider trading, corruption to the max. And, I mean, I had been told about some of this happening, but since I have not been given the specific facts, I'm not going to say anything more to that extent. But I mean, I believe it. There's culture of corruption, the wheeling and dealing with people. And, I mean, Teresa Jacobs right here in Orange County, she's on the Expressway Authority. She was, because she's the mayor of Orange County, so she's automatically on the Expressway Authority board. She's also on the board of what's called Metro Plan, which is another transportation planning board. It's a planning board in general, but transportation focuses on that. All the games going on, the wheeling and dealing between these groups, nobody's representing us. They're representing each other. How many ways can they make the money? And after what Jacobs did with her game with the texting the messages back and forth during a public hearing and then deleting them, trying to hide, cover up what she was doing, anybody that doesn't think, I mean, she used to be a lobbyist for Florida DOT. Who do you think she works for? Who do you think she's working for? Do you truly think she's working for the people of Orange County? There's no way.
Well, the people don't know because they don't bother to check these people out before they go down to the polls to vote. And how do I know that? I used to do it. I'd be proud as hell I was going down to vote. I didn't know who in the hell I was voting for. I was kind of like some of them, if he had blue eyes and dimples, I'd vote for him, except I didn't vote for Clinton. But, you know, I would listen to their commercials and so forth. But as far as actually getting down and digging into what these people are and what they have done and where they have been, I did not do it. And I'm kicking my butt from here to yonder for it now. But that's why I said we're older, we're smarter, we've been around the block. I was young, dumb, and didn't know half as much as I thought I did back then. And that's what people have got to start doing. They've got to start doing some work on this stuff instead of believing what they're putting on TV. And I want to see a law pass. I think they have to e-verify these damn commercials before they put them on TV. And if they're caught trying to tell a lie, then they don't get to place any more ads.
Now, fraud used to be a crime. Now it's a way of life.
Yeah, and this election is just full of it.
Well, and it's because of all these stupid super PACs. That's the other part, you know, and this is where it's so disgusting what the Supreme Court did. And I don't know, I tried to come up with what was in these people's brains when they did this to say that a corporation is the same as an individual. A corporation cannot vote. At least not yet, or have we given them rights to go to the voting booth, too?
If we're allowing them to put super PACs together, then we're allowing them to go to the polls.
Well, I mean, technically they don't actually vote. They don't. But, and that's really to my point, they do not have the right to go to the poll to vote. They should not have the right to be spending money on that election. They should not have the right to go out there and buy the election, which is exactly what the Supreme Court is allowing to happen. So, and that's the other part, too. So now, I mean, the candidates can really say whatever they want to and have all the mudslinging, if you will, come from these super PACs, and they act like it's nothing to do with them. It's not their fault. But I think it's still, to me, it's still their fault. It's still tied to them. And the super PACs have to go. This goes back to we the people versus the ballot box establishment. Our elections are so corrupt, and people get annoyed with me when I talk about, you know, well, of course, Romney's doing good. His two debates have helped him out. And, you know, I'm still not a big old fan of Romney. He sounds better than what he has been. But people have to understand, even if you go out there and either one of these people, either one from the Democrat or Republican Party, you have to understand you're voting for corruption because that's what the two parties are. And if you feel obligated to vote for the two parties, then that's what you have to do. But don't think we're going to solve the problems of this country by supporting and promoting corruption. Corruption is what got us into the mess we're in, and until Americans grow a backbone to stop the corruption, which is the toll roads, the interstate highway stuff, massive corruption, massive deceit, massive lies against the people, it's a crime against the people of this country, then nothing's going to change. And I just tell you, you know, whoever ends up in there, whoever ends up in that White House, that's only a part of it. You got to get rid of the scum buckets that are in those two houses of Congress because they're just as useless. They really are. But you don't hardly hear anybody talk about the fact that, you know what, and this is true with Romney running for president, most of them who run for president, he doesn't go up and say, and to me it would really help his case, say, you know, here's what I want to do, but you got to make sure you give me the supporting staff over here in the Senate to do it. So I may want to do this, but if I don't have the help over there, I'm not going to get it done. You got to change the environment all the way through both the houses of Congress. Otherwise, he's not going to be able to do anything anyway if they keep it the same way the status quo is now. What did you think about the debate?
It was so hard for me to watch. I mean, I can't afford to buy a new TV, so I couldn't afford to throw anything at it. I mean, that's how hard a time I have even watching monkey ears, and that's my term, Kim.
I didn't watch much.
Well, I suffered through. Did I think either one of them did a great job? No. Do I think Mitt Romney did a better job than Obama? Yes, by hair. Did I think Obama made an ass out of himself? Yeah, I did. And by that I mean, as it was said on the radio today, he didn't act very presidential. He tried to buddy in. In other words, he looked like, what's his cohort's name? Obama and Biden.
Biden?
Looked like he had read a page of Biden's script. I mean, he's got a big white smile, but Biden's got him beat by a bunch. But I'm telling you, just if I didn't have to hold a trash can in front of my, you know, under my chin the whole time I'm watching it, so I can barf up every time I feel like regurgitating because I have to look at that monkey ear thing, I'd be okay.
Monkey ears. He really should do something different with his hair.
Well, he's got chimpanzee ears. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm not arguing the point. His ears are definitely noticeable. They do stand out. That's why I say he should do something different with his hair to make it not quite so obvious.
You know, I have a brother. We used to tease him and call him Dumbo. Well, my grandson has ears, and they're big. I'm sorry, but they are. And we used to tease him. And why did we do that? Well, he better get used to it, because when he was going to school, guess what? He was going to have to put up with it.
That's right.
You know, and they did the same thing to me when I was a kid, but my ears were never as big as his. He used to tell me I had Dumbo ears. Now, today, they would tell them they were being, bullies. In my day, Daddy said just either put up with it and ignore it. But today, you know, they go crying and, oh, that's why my life is so bad, because they made fun of me in school. Give me a break.
Well, that's why Americans have turned out to be a bunch of wimps. the younger generation, I mean, we truly have raised a bunch of wimps, which goes back into everything we're talking about here on this other stuff.
Right.
They're not taught to participate in anything. How many parents have never taken their kid to a public meeting to see what really happens in the process? Maybe?
Right. Well, because the parents, if the kids asked an intelligent question, theirs would be able to answer it anyway. You know. Duh.
Well, I don't know. I just know that we definitely got to get these people together. There's enough people who are pissed off about this Interstate 95 toll and tolls in general, and they're pissed off about the tolls here in I-4 in Orlando, through the I-4 corridor, as they try to call it. They make such a big deal about it in the political things. I keep saying, well, let's talk. You're talking about the I-4 corridor. Why don't you show the IRS toll booth above it?
Well, now that would get their attention. But oh, hell, I lost my train of thought. Oh, back up. It must not be important. I'm past.
Well, anyway, the I-4 toll roads, the IRS. the IRS, I mean, that's what it really is. So just put this as an extension of the IRS, because this is your up next income tax. They're taking the money away from you, raising your, reducing your disposable income, and all your cost of living goes up. This is, you know, I get so sick when I hear people say, well, Grandma doesn't drive, so why should Grandma pay for the roads? No, Grandma doesn't drive, but guess what? Meals on Wheels does. Guess what? The food gets to the grocery store on the road. The plumber gets to Grandma's house on the road. So Grandma does pay for it. So Grandma's going to be penalized at the same time. So the stupid, and I mean, when I hear Republicans say this stuff, it's despicable on both sides. I mean, it truly is. If you're supposed to be a conservative who doesn't believe in higher taxes and bigger government, then why would you ever support this? You're telling me this is a good tax. Okay, conservatives out there, rhinos, sitting there saying, this is a really good tax. This will help us. This is good. Well, that's not what the small businesses are telling them. That is definitely not what the small businesses are telling them. And then on the other side, the demo rats, as I'm going to start calling them. I don't like calling them dinos, you know, whatever. I think demo rats sounds better.
I think it fits well.
What's that?
It fits well.
It does. And, I mean, here, they act like they're trying to protect the middle class and lower income people. Well, then why are you doing this? Because you're hurting them, too. So it's bad on both sides. But Charlie had mentioned earlier that I had a plan to phase out the tolls. And I'm actually working on a bill for the state of Florida. And anybody who likes to get into writing the bills and stuff like that, I can use some help on it. But the whole point is, here in Florida, this is true in almost every state. I'm saying Florida because I deal with it and I know what they do here. You know, there's a tourist tax when you stay in a hotel. Tourism impacts transportation, wouldn't you say? The more tourists here, the more people are on the roads, the more congestion there is. Tourism impacts transportation. And the fact that we don't properly handle the transportation for tourism, I think is a negative to our state. All they would have to do is take maybe 5% of that tourist tax. Instead of spending it on a sports arena for a pro sports team, put it back into the roads. What a concept to raise taxes for the public good. Isn't that something just amazing? I mean, you know, I had to be a genius to think of something like that, wouldn't it? I don't consider myself to be a genius by any means. But you could.
That's why you're my hero.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And you are mine, too, because you're out there fighting it in Texas. But that's why don't they take part of the tourist tax and put it towards transportation? So there would be no tax increase, but they would have to take it away from some of their friends, which, of course, is who they're really working for. They're not working for the people. They're working for their friends. So you could take a small, and at one point I had the numbers. I'd have to go out there and look again to see what was the total revenue for tourist taxes, strictly from the hotel resort tax, for the year, and see how much you would automatically put towards transportation right by just by doing that. The other piece would be that the same is true with car taxes. I mean, car rentals. They outrageous taxes they charge. And they say, well, it's a tourist. We can hit them up. It doesn't matter. Well, guess what? Almost all of us are tourists in some other state at some point. So we all get stuck with these taxes. And it's pretty stinky, if you're lousy to me, to try and screw over the tourists. But that's what they do. Excuse me. But and the same is true when it comes to rental cars. They have high taxes on rental cars. Well, wait a minute. Take part of that rental. That's a car. It's transportation. It impacts the roads. Go ahead and put part of that tourist tax that you are on that car rental back into the transportation fund. It's the things that the activity that impacts transportation the most. And you know what? If we improve transportation in this town, tourists are going to really like it a lot better. It will be much better. I hear tourists all the time complain about how much they pay on these tolls. Because you can't, with the exception of I-4, every expressway in Central Florida has a toll.
And it's been that way for years.
Oh, well, that's the way they've always built it. And, they were always going to be temporary tolls. And, you know, the other part, they talk about widening I-4. You would not need to widen I-4 if you took the tolls off of the Beltway. If you took the tolls off the Beltway, you would not need to widen I-4. But again, it's not about doing the right thing. It's not about using the people's money effectively. It's about screwing over the public and ripping us off every which way they can. And I got to make sure I get this in there because it just irks me to no end. And good old Rick Scott was involved in this one, Governor Scott, too. Indirectly, he was involved. On the Orlando-Orange County Expressway Authority, there's one of the board members who was appointed by Rick Scott. His name is Scott Batterson. Sits on a public board and votes on public policy, yet he is benefiting from the decision of his vote. He has a financial interest, and he voted for this Wekiva Parkway, which is another toll road. He voted for it when he has a financial interest in it. Now, how can that be legal? How can that be right? This is a culture of corruption here in Florida, here right here in Orlando, Florida. That guy should have recused himself and not voted on that. But he voted for it. He voted for himself to give himself money at the public's expense. Scott Batterson, he does not belong on that board. And when Rick Scott was questioned about it, you know what Rick Scott said? This tells you what kind of a governor Rick Scott is. Oh, I'm sure he'll do the right thing. That's what Rick Scott said. I'm sure he'll do the right thing. So you're okay with him voting on stuff that benefits him? No conflict of interest, huh?
But what that statement equates to is, I really don't give a damn.
That's exactly what it means. Go ahead, Scott Batterson, rip off the people as much as you want. Go for it.
As long as I get my fair share.
That expressway.
Give me my share, though.
Yep, exactly. Total corruption throughout government today, and it is so massive when it comes to these toll roads. Everything to do with the toll roads is a scam. It's corrupt, and it's all against we the people. It's these low lives that are in public office today. And I'm telling you, John Micah is one of the absolute worst. And I'm telling you, for everybody who listens to this, please, if you don't do anything else, at least call that idiot Speaker of the House, House Speaker Boehner, whichever way you like to say it, call his office and say, why do you allow a rhino like John Micah to be the chair of the Transportation Committee? He's out there wasting billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars on stupid high-speed trains to nowhere while he's putting more toll taxes on us, we the people. Boehner, why did you do that? Call the Republican Party. Call the Republican Party of Florida. Call the Republican, the RNC. Why do they keep supporting that kind of pork spending, waste? And what about the fact that his daughter's, her company got $13 million in earmarks? Doesn't that matter? How cozy. How convenient. Now, his daughter's company was called Micah Strategic Communications. I have not seen it out there anymore. I think they took down the website. If you went to the website, you would have seen almost all her clients were transportation clients. How convenient. I call that money laundering. That is too close for comfort. Okay, your daughter is over there getting money from the transportation companies, and you're the chair of the transportation committee. You've been on the transportation committee for years. But to me, it's money laundering is what it is. Bribery of one, some would say bribery, but I think you could classify it as money laundering by putting the money into her corporation on his behalf. That's just too close of a connection there. And this is why we got to shut this crap down. And I'm so sick and tired of being ripped off by these people in public office who play God and think that we work for them. Got to get rid of them.
You know, you asked the question a while ago, why did the Supreme Court allow the super PACs? Who was president when they voted on that? Who was sitting on the Supreme Court? Let's see. Obama appointees? Mm-hmm. Obama was president when this happened? Mm-hmm. Wonder why they voted like they did.
Well, he pretended to be mad about it.
Bull. That's yeah, he's mad, all right. That's why he's got money coming in from overseas through the super PACs.
That's right. But it's elections for sale. And I just recently somebody was talking to me again about this who you vote for routine. Well, first off, and I truly don't think it's going to matter, the corruption with our votes for the federal election all being counted overseas in Spain. What is that about? I mean, so who's going to trust the counting of the vote anyway? So, I you know, for whoever ends up being there. But people have got to understand you will never when the elections are this corrupt, we can't fix the problem. We have to clean up these elections big time in so many ways. But I think, you know, even if Romney is the favored one at that time because his numbers keep climbing, what do you think is going to happen when the vote gets counted in Spain?
What I've been upset about from the time I found out that Soros' company in Spain owned the voting rights, the, you know, the tabulations, I think we're going to get screwed, rude, and tattooed.
Mm-hmm. So, to a certain degree, I don't know if it would matter who you vote for, because I think it's already, I think the vote's already been counted by Soros.
And I think that's why people aren't thinking about this, but I believe Obama's attitude about that first debate was an explanation of, I've got this one, so what in the hell am I doing here?
Exactly. I don't have to be here. I've already won it. I've already got my votes counted.
Why am I doing this? Why am I putting up with this? This is boring. I'd rather be out playing golf. Or kissing some Islamic whatever's ring.
Yep. You know, I don't recall hearing him say anything about this terrorist thing that they tried to blow up the Federal Reserve, but I haven't heard the news much today, so.
Well, they're not saying it was a ring. It was this one kid, so they're saying, that came over here on a student visa. That's something that has to be stopped. If we're not going to verify who these people are, and who they really are when they come into this country, then we need to stop student visas. Simple as that.
Well, and I think, exactly. Right now, until we get our own security under control on this homeland, we shouldn't be letting any of these people in. Until we get things under control, we've proven we're absolutely out of control. We don't know who's coming and going, anything else. And we're trying to save the world over there in the Middle East. We're fighting other people's wars, and we can't even protect our own country.
Right. I mean, you know, that part of Ron Paul I agreed with. You know, if stop sending them money. Of course, Mitt Romney has said basically the same thing. If you're not for us, then you're not getting no money. I'm sorry. And don't just give them warnings. Just tell them, okay, you're going to get this money. But the first time that you do anything, it lets us know that you are going behind our backs, or doing anything that's against the United States, you're cut off forever. I mean, I would make a hell of a president. Foreign relations. That would be me.
I'll make sure your name gets put up for the Secretary of State.
There
you can replace Hillary.
Oh. Hell, they'd probably phone me.
I'll take you there before Hillary anytime. We're down through the last couple of minutes here, so we better wrap this up. I wasn't even paying attention to the clock. All of a sudden, the time has run out. So anyway, thank you as always for tuning in. A lively discussion, and yes, Texas is another toll road, whatever. And any last words from you, Ms. Texas?
Oh, you just keep pounding at it, Sally. You're going to get somebody. But if you want... work hard on plugging up that toll road. Go to those truckers and tell them, hey, guys, this is what I want to do. Get on the CB and let people know it.
Yes.
God bless Florida. Yep. God bless Texas and the United States of America. Night.
Good night. Thank you. And thank you for tuning in. And please, let's get together on this interstate toll stuff. We have got to shut it down. We can. We have the power. We have the will. And that's all it takes. Anyway, on that note, thank you again. And as always, may God bless the USA. God bless and protect the USA. Thank you. Good night.